for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November the 27th, 1992. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Thank you again tonight, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for the service this morning and this afternoon and tonight. We give you the praise and the glory for that what you're doing in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And again, Lord, we lift up the campground and Glenn and Irma and all the people here tonight. The workers, Lord God. We believe, Lord, you are going to do a mighty work here yet. Hallelujah. And we thank you, my Jesus. Lord, tonight as we go into the Word tonight, we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us, to give us wisdom, give us knowledge and understanding. Let the words that come forth be from the Spirit. Quicken us, Lord God. In ourselves, we are nothing. And we confess to you, in ourselves, we are nothing. It is only in you and through you that we can do anything. And we humble our hearts before you, Lord God. We choose to go down. And you said if we'd go down, you'd raise us up. So, Lord, we choose by an act of our will to humble our hearts before you and to go down this night. Hallelujah. Recognizing you're the head of the church. You are that great and morning star. You are the light of the world. And yet, Lord, you said we, as your people, were the light of the world as well. And we thank you, Lord. You're doing your work in us. We thank you for the kingdom. We thank you for suns that are rising in the earth. Hallelujah. We thank you for the army of God that's marching and going to march together, Lord. We believe, Lord, we've only seen a small portion of that which we're going to yet see. You said we've only tasted of the powers of the world to come. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that small portion that we have seen and heard. But, God, we desire to see the full inheritance come. And we thank you, Lord. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to turn tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I was going to share on the tale of the dragon, but I think we'll go another way. Possibly, we may touch on, I don't know, but 1 Corinthians 14. How many know the dragon's got a tail? He's got a face, he's got a mouth, too. Do you know that? And they're all set against the church. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. I really enjoyed this morning and this afternoon. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, the Bible said we know in part and we prophesy in part. And then that which is perfect has come, he said, as well, this which is in part shall be done away with. I mean, oh, Jesus is our life tonight. Now, we know that there is a fullness coming within a people of God. And Jesus is that perfect one, and that fullness is coming. But at this time, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But the fullness is coming. Now, in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow. That doesn't mean just tag along. That means to, literally, it means many things, of course. But it means to pursue, or to ensue. To pursue the love of God. How many know that love is the greatest weapon we have? Hallelujah. And thank God for the love of God. And I believe that God wants us to walk in love. How many believe that? How many know God is love? And Jesus is and was the Son of God, which means He's the Son of love. And how many know that He was the very express image of His Father? He was the very expression of that love. How many believe that? And God in this hour is raising up sons. And they're going to be sons of love. Amen? Hallelujah. And they're going to be an expression of that love here on the earth. I believe that. And so he said, follow or pursue after charity or the love of God. That word also, follow, means to press. Paul said, I press towards the mark. Remember that in Philippians 3? Of that high calling in Christ Jesus. So there is a pressing. There is a pursuing after that love. Then he said, desire, Desire, and that word desire is a strong word. How many know we can desire good things and bad things at the same time? The word desire means to covet. 1 Corinthians 12, look back in chapter 12. I'm just going to take my time. 12:31, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet, Paul said, I'm going to show unto you a more excellent, come on, way. The word also means, the word desire also means to be jealous for, it means to be zealous for, and it means to have a warm feeling for or against. So God wants us to desire something. First, follow the love of God, then desire, come on, spiritual gifts. And the word spiritual means non-carnal, they're not on the physical, carnal realm. It's a spiritual plane. How many know speaking in tongues is just a miracle, just like seeing a leg lengthen out? Come on, amen. It's supernatural, isn't that right? How many thank God that you speak in tongues tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember the first time I ever gave a message in tongues. My hand was on the pulpit, and I was young Christian giving a testimony, and I felt that anointing come up on me. How many has ever felt that anointing? And I gave my first message in tongues, and a lady in the from the church stood and gave the interpretation, and I don't think she'd ever give another one after that. But God used her that night. It was such a blessing. And God put a love in me for not only the gifts of the Spirit, but the one who gives the gifts. How many know the Lord's our giver tonight? Amen? Now, notice what he said. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may do something. Prophesy. How many know that we can become God's spokesman? Now, that doesn't mean we're all prophets. This is where we get in trouble. We begin to be used by God, and we think we're a prophet. Now, Paul said, are all prophets? What's the answer? But he said, you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all can be comforted. Amen? Now, why did he say here to us, but rather that you may prophesy? Because in the gift of prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, now you've got to hear this, the simple gift of prophecy, there is no revelation in it at all by itself. But how many know God brings revelation? And revelation can work in conjunction with the gift, such as the word of wisdom, come on, or word of knowledge, which is a fragment of God's wisdom or God's knowledge. Now, with the gift of prophecy, though, every gift of the Spirit can operate through that gift. How many know you can speak miracles? You can speak healing. You can speak discernment. Hallelujah. You can speak words of wisdom. Come on, words of knowledge. You can speak faith, the gift of faith as God. Tongues, interpretation equals prophecy. So Paul said, right here to us, but rather that you may prophesy. Now look in verse 2. I'm just touching a couple things before I go into this word that I want to bring tonight. In verse 2, he said something else. Come on, let's read it with me. Everybody read verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Next verse. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Praise God. Now, one more verse. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. Now, we know praying in tongues, we're speaking to our Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? That's the Holy Ghost talking to the Father. And we know on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues for the first time. But how many know those people that heard that language, it was prophetic to them. Those who could understand, it was prophetic. Now, it was tongues to those 120. But it was prophetic to those who understood the language. Isn't that right? Now, we know that we speak to God in the heavenly languages. And we thank God for that. Number two, we know that we speak something else. We speak mysteries, our divine secrets. Now, Christ in you is a mystery, isn't that right? Christ coming in you and coming in me is a mystery. Hallelujah. It is a secret coming within us. And we talk about, you know, Christ sneaking down and catching everybody up. But I want to tell you, the secret coming is Christ in you. Let me know when Jesus comes in the air, everybody's going to know it. I said, everybody, every eye shall see him. Hear me now. He's coming within us first, isn't that right? And then he's coming in the air. Now, so we pray in tongues to God. We're being edified as we do that. We're speaking mysteries as well. Thank God for that. Now, in prophecy, we're not just speaking
only to God, but how many know we're ministering to people? We're speaking to people. Amen? Now, in tongues, how many know we're edified when we pray in tongues? Let me go over that again. Number one, we're praying in the Spirit to God. Number two, we're speaking mysteries. Isn't that right? And number three, we're being edified as we pray in those tongues. There is a hotline between earth and heaven tonight. Just like there's a hotline between Washington and Moscow. That was built with man's hands, but if it's ever severed, it's because man severs it. Let me know that we can sever the hotline tonight. We can quit praying. Come on now. Now in prophecy, we're speaking to God. Hallelujah. And many of those mysteries, come on, that we prayed in tongues come out in the prophetic word. And the church is edified. Now the reason the church is not edified as it should be, because we're not praying in the Spirit and building up ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Now, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to speak tonight on a word I believe is important to us tonight. Hallelujah. We talked about the family this morning. Brother Robert did. And our brother tested on it this afternoon. But let me tell you, how many know that false words can destroy homes? Do you know their homes have been destroyed because of false words? Individually, marriages, and people's lost their businesses. Many things we could go into here. Now look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's see something. Let's see why some prophetic words are not fulfilled. Look in chapter 5 and look in verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Don't throw a bucket of water on. Despise not, come on, prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now he said, do not despise prophesying. But yet, he said, you must prove all things, and you must hold fast that which is good. And you know, we better eat the fish and throw the bones away. And we all need a listening ear to hear what God is saying to us. But I'm here to tell you, many words that we receive are not from God many times. But we must not allow that thing to get into our heart that would cause us to despise the prophetic word. Amen? And if we're not careful, we can do that. Now, there are people sitting here tonight. The reason you have not received your promise is because you despise the word of the Lord. So right now, let's repent. I mean, that's good for all of us. Come on, don't shout me down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I repent for despising the prophetic word or any word that you have given me. Forgive me, Lord. And that true word that you have spoken that I have despised, then, Lord, bring it to pass. Cause the promise to be fulfilled in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give him praise. Amen. Come on, believe that. Believe what you pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, so we're not to despise the prophetic word, even though we may have received many things that were not of the Lord. We are not to despise it. Amen? Now, turn over to 2 Chronicles 20:20. Here's another reason. We'll look at it. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2020 vision. The latter part of this verse, it said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets. More than one there now. I mean, no, God didn't have his favorite prophet. He's got prophets. Come on, don't shout me down. He's got prophets. And if one says one way, I mean, no, God will confirm it through another. We're not exalting a prophet or anyone here today. We're exalting the prophet, Jesus. And so he said, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now let's turn that around. If we do not believe his prophets, come on, we will not prosper. Maybe we're not prospering tonight in some areas because, again, we've despised, hear me, the word of the Lord. How many know that God says to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and so forth? And that word another there in 1 Corinthians 12, one of the words means a different kind. And I believe that gifts and callings from God come from Him. And I don't believe God wants to necessarily take it back. I believe if He's put a calling on you and a gift within you, God puts it in you to use for His glory. And that His church be edified. Amen? But here's our problem. Sometimes we misjudge outwardly, and the person doesn't suit us that's coming to minister to us. Well, how many know that person may have your healing if you reject that person and that word in his mouth? How many know you may never get healed? Isn't that right? Now, I want to show this to you with this in mind. If we don't believe the prophets, we will not prosper. Now, look in 2 Chronicles 36. Hallelujah. And look at verse 15. 2 Chronicles 36, 15. And it says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them, that is God's people, by His messengers, that's the prophets, rising up betimes or early and sending. Because He had, now here's why God sends the prophets. Because He had compassion on His people. And number two, and on His dwelling place. Well, you are His people and you are His dwelling place. I mean, oh God, this building is not God's dwelling place. Although we meet here. Isn't that right? We are the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. You know, they can talk about the Middle East temple all they want to. But God does not live in temples made with hands. I mean, oh, Jesus said these words one time. He said, my house. Then He said, my Father's house. And then He told Israel, He said, your house. And when He said that, He walked right out of it in Matthew 24. And He said, you see these buildings, this big building here, all these buildings and stones, it's going to crumble and fall. Hallelujah. How many know it did in AD 70? And God did away with that old temple. And how many know God's through with it? He's building, come on, a new dwelling place, a new tabernacle, a new building, a new temple. And John saw in Revelation there was no temple therein. I mean, no, we're going to get swallowed up in God. Don't get into that. But here He said something. They did something. God's people that He sent to by the prophets. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised His words. They misused His prophets until. That's a time word. God let it go on for a period of time. Until, notice, the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. That means healing. No healing. You can have every bandage come through until they've ever had rubbed off their head, but they'll not get healing. Come on. Because they've despised the prophets unless there's repentance. Amen? They have rejected, hear me, what God is saying. And how many know God sends the prophets when your wall is crippled? When everything's out of whack, He'll send the prophet. And you know He's raising up prophets. The ministry God's raising up in this hour, hear me, Revelation 11 and Zechariah 4 are His two prophets, not two men. The old tradition teaches it's two men. No, it's a company of prophets. Hallelujah. Now you see Moses, you see Elijah in those prophets, but they're God's olive tree. It is the Word and the Spirit within a people. Hallelujah. And God's raising them up. And there is golden oil. Zechariah talks about the golden oil. The golden lampstand. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's gold represents His nature. How many know we need some wrought gold tonight within our vessel? The nature of God within us. The purity of God within us. And so we see here that these people could not be healed. There was no remedy, no healing, because they misused God's prophets. Now look over in Proverbs 29 with that in mind. Verse 1, chapter 29 and verse 1. Thank you, Lord. 29:1 of Proverbs. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck or his will shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without something, without remedy or without healing. Same word. Let me know that it says in Malachi 4 that the Son of Righteousness is arising with healing in his wings. That's the word right here. Same word, the word healing. Okay? The same one in Chronicles that we saw. Now turn to Ezra. Turn to the book of Ezra. I'm giving you all these easy scriptures. Ezra. The book of Ezra tonight. And let me give you another scripture on prospering by prophets, if I can find it here. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 14. It said, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah. So there was prosperity through God's servant as they prophesied. And I believe the word of the Lord can turn your poverty. Hallelujah. How many believe that? I've seen it in my own life. I prophesied in my own life. We were coming around Dallas one time. Remember that, Bill? We were in a van, four, five, or six of us, and I started prophesying. And God broke the spirit of poverty that day off of my life. I was going through a struggle financially. And the word of the Lord, through my mouth, that God broke my own poverty. Hallelujah. But it was for all of us. Let me believe that can happen tonight. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how many know there's conditions with prophecy? Huh? You know, Joseph, he come to his brethren and he said, I see all of you all brethren bowing down to me. Remember that? And how many know they hated him because he told them that? And yet he dreamed another dream. You know, Joseph was the 11th son. 11 is the number of confusion. The first thing a real dream or vision from God will do is confusion. You won't understand it. You'll never understand it right at first. But God said to him that they're going to bow down to you. And how many know it took years for that to happen? But you know, the Lord never told him that he was going to be sold like a prisoner. He never told him he'd be put in the pit. Come on. He never told him there was a woman who would lie on him and cheat on him and tell her husband he'd try to make a pass at her and so forth. And God never told him he would go to prison. How many know he did before that happened? Hallelujah. Hezekiah, God said to him, you're going to die, Hezekiah. But how many know he met some conditions? Come on now. He wept and he prayed. He repented. And before the prophet got out of the court, God said, go back and tell him something. I got another word for that man. Come on now. He's got 15 more years. And in those 15 years, how many know Manasseh was born? And how many know Manasseh got into the occult and a lot of trouble? I wonder if Hezekiah grieved over those 15 years of what he saw in his son. But our God's a merciful God, isn't he? God told Israel, he said in Egypt, he said, I'm going to take you to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. But how many know the old generation didn't make it? Come on now, amen? Brethren, God's told us a lot of things tonight. How many know the promises are still real tonight? The promises are still yea and amen in God. Or yea, it is in my life, it's yea and amen. But there's a lot of things we've been told that we have not seen a fulfillment of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And yet God is still giving us promises. And there's conditions that we have to meet with those promises. Isn't that right? Praise God. Now turn over with me. Turn over with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter, 13 or 14. Let's turn there. Thank you, Lord. I'm in Judges. I won't do it. Joshua. And look at chapter 14, verse 7. Now here's a man who had received a promise. The promise of inheritance. But it's going to take many years before he walks into it as his own. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. This is concerning Caleb. To spy out the land. Now, he was one of the 12 that went in. How many good reports did we get back? How many bad reports? You know, when Joshua sent them later over and across Jordan, he didn't send 12, he only sent 2. How many know he learned a lesson? And you know what those two represent? The two witnesses in Revelation. Hallelujah. And you know there was no, man couldn't cross Jordan. How many know it was swelling out of its banks and its flood stage? God supernaturally got them over and got them back. That's a message concerning the man-child in Revelation. Now, 40 years old was when I was with Moses, the servant of the Lord, and he sent me to from Kadesh Barnea to spot the land, and I brought him word again that was in mine heart. Notice, he told the truth, didn't he? Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. How many know there's transference of spirits right here? Our brother talked about soul ties today. How many know transference of spirits and soul ties are real? How many has ever been under a ministry you had to break the spirit off of you? If you haven't, you will if you start hearing the Holy Ghost. And he said, they caused the people's hearts to melt. But I wholly, come on, followed the Lord my God. Now that's the condition. But his whole heart and soul and body. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. And thy children's forever. So it wasn't only for dad, it was for his children. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath done something. He hath kept me alive. Let me know he can rejuvenate our youth as the eagle. And I don't think we have to die young. And I don't think we have to be taken out prematurely. I believe we can meet conditions and live an old life in God. Hallelujah. And yet he's saying something. As yet I am as strong this day as it was in the days that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. 45 years later, he said, I'm just as strong. You know what I see here? He never lost the joy of the Lord. He never lost the joy of the Lord. Amen? For war, both to go out, come on, and to come in. So he knew what war was. He knew what it was to stand in God, to wholly follow the Lord, to have the joy of the Lord and the strength of God, and to walk in that land God promised him. Amen? So here's another point right here. The reason, hear me, some of you will not receive that inheritance or that promise, or I as well, is because we will not war in the Spirit for what that which God said. There is a warfare that we have to learn in God. You know, we can go to a meeting and say, oh, God, please give me a prophecy. And God will give you all kinds. But let me know you better war in the Spirit and believe God for what he said. I'll show that in just a minute. Now, notice verse 12. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, verse 13, the mountain was Hebron, which means fellowship as an inheritance. And then if you'll notice the last part, it said the land had rest from war. It took 45 years for that promise to come to pass. But how many know he believed God? He didn't forget the promise. He held on to God. There was war, and yet he walked upon the land. Hallelujah. I am not satisfied in my own life. I know there are things God said to me that I yet want to see fulfilled. Hallelujah. But just because I get the promise, it is not automatic. Now look in 1 Timothy. Let's go to Timothy. Jesus, help us. Jesus. Look in 1 Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse, no, it's chapter 1, isn't it? 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, 18. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. Now notice there's more than one there. Which went before on thee. So these prophecies were concerning Timothy and his ministry. That thou by them, the prophecy. And notice it. Hallelujah. Mightest war a good warfare. Now our problem is we don't hear when God's speaking to us. But if we'll learn to hear what God is saying to us, how many know we'll learn to war and war effectively? And so, how many know there wasn't tape recorders in those days? And he said, Timothy, you better listen and listen well, boy, because he said, by that which God said to you through the prophetic word concerning you and your ministry, if you'll do what God says and war a good warfare. Let me know that he'll have what God said. Look at the next verse. What's the next verse? Holding faith. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So, brethren, we have to war and we have to hold on to what God said. I have a little book on the back table called 3 P's. The 3 P's. Promise, problem, provision. And you know, when God gives you a promise, automatically he lets you get into a problem. And we know that's true. But that is not to destroy or defeat us, is it? Now, when you get in that fog of confusion and you don't know what's going on, the best thing is to go back and get a hold of that promise again. Come on. And come back into that problem situation. And I'm going to show you how you come through it. Look in Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. You got to have this. Hebrews 6. And look at verse 12. And here's what Paul said. That you be not slothful, but followers of them. We don't like to follow anybody. Followers of them. Hallelujah. Well, who's the them? He tells us right here, who through faith, come on, and patience inherit something. The promises. It's going to take faith and patience, which are the principles of God, to bring you through the problem. Into that provision. Amen? Now we have three alternatives in the problem. Number one is you can take another lap. And how many know we've all done that many, many times, Robert? Huh? I mean, we can give a guided tour, some of us around some of the mountains we've been around. I can. And number two, the second thing is our bones can bleach or we can die. We can die with the promise of God in our hearts. And never see the fulfillment of it. We can die in the wilderness. How many know God's people died in that wilderness? Their bones bleached out there in the sun. Or the third thing is we can stand, come on, and enter as an overcomer. By believing God, by faith and by patience, we enter into what God said. Amen? Now look in Hebrews 10 just a minute. Look in Hebrews 10. Here's another verse we need to look at. Thank you, Jesus. Look in verse 32. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. Not eliminated. You did something. You endured, come on, a great fight of affliction. Notice you endured. You didn't throw in the towel. You didn't quit. Come on. It got hard, got rough, but you stayed in there for the Lord. Partly while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Notice, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. How many know that really takes some faith, wouldn't it? Knowing, that's your property. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven, come on, a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, that's your boldness. Which hath great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience. Yes. My wife knows I need a lot of. For you have need of patience that after, come on, you've done the will of God, you might receive, come on, the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you've done, come on, the will of God. Isn't that right? So, brethren, God's given us promises. We've just got to do the will of God. Amen. And you know, God gave Abraham a promise, you'll have a son. Of course, him and Sarah helped God out, didn't they? Huh? We know the whole story about Ishmael. I won't go into that tonight. But Abraham had God's word. Hear me. He believed what God said. He resisted every circumstance that would say him and Sarah could never have a child. And how many know the Bible said he was strong in faith? Come on, giving glory to God. Let me know that God is able to perform anything in your life and my life that he wants us to have. Huh? But he said he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And I believe God wants us to be strong. Look in Romans 5. Look at Romans 5 here, man. Thank you, Lord. And notice what it says. In verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many know there's an attitude in us that can be good or bad? Huh? Do we glory in tribulations? Also, he says, knowing that tribulation, come on, worketh patience. And how many know that in tribulation we must be patient? Tribulation worketh patience, and patience, something else, experience, and experience hope. And I'm telling you, brethren, you have no doubt received many promises from God, just like I have. But it's going to take faith on your part and patience, waiting on God to receive. I remember the Lord gave me a word about going to Alabama and Georgia to minister. It took 15 years for that word to come to pass. First half of the word came to pass quickly, but the last half, it took almost 15 years. But God did it. If God speaks it, it will be if we believe it. Look in Deuteronomy 18 just a minute. Let's turn there. Hallelujah. I thank God for the prophetic word. I don't care who it comes through. If it's from God, I want to hear it. Chapter 18. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 18. Look at verses 15, first of all. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, as Moses said, unto him ye shall hearken. Now verse 18. I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. How many know the words of the Lord was in Jesus' mouth? He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, that's Jesus, shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Just hold your place and look in Acts 3:23. This is quoted in Acts 3:23. Got a lot of fingers there? Acts 3:23. The scripture says this, notice, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Shall be destroyed from among the people. How many know that prophet's still speaking tonight? Through his servants, whoever he's using. Amen? And so back in Deuteronomy, he says here, I will require it of him. Then he said in verse 20 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, the prophet which shall presume, that's presumption, to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet, come on, shall die. God told me last week, and I don't know who these are. God only knows. I prophesied this, that God's getting ready to take some people home because of their disobedience. And he said it'll be soon. And I believe it's coming. Hallelujah. You know, we better be obedient, all of us. Now listen to what he says. He said, if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And let me tell you what's behind presumption is pride. Pride. I mean, no, pride will destroy every one of us. Amen? Now, let me give you one other point. I've said so far we're not to despise prophesying. I've said that also that unbelief will not prosper. I said there's conditions that have to be met, or we can say there's a timing for it to come to pass. There is a warfare over the prophetic word. There is faith and patience that we have to exercise as well. Now, how many know that there is a spirit of divination in the church? Now, let's go to Revelation 12, and we'll touch on this just a minute. Bill says he gets in Revelation, he won't get out. Revelation 12, and look at verse 4. Now, I know the devil fell, I know his angels fell, but I'm going to tell you something. This has also a meaning for the end of the age as well. And you'll notice in verse 4, his tail. The word tail means to wag, of course. And it also means hindmost in the Old Testament. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them, come on, to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman's the church, not Israel. My background, I was a Baptist background, Assembly of God, and I was taught it was Israel. It is not is natural Israel. It is the church of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because she's in the heavenly. Now, it says, notice, this tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth. That's the carnal realm. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for, notice, not to devour the woman, but to devour her child. This is the man-child. As soon as it was born. This is not Jesus here in the physical. Now, Jesus is in a people. And we know Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Come on now, don't shout me down. This is at the end of the age. And this one that's birthed or born here is the man-child, which is the overcomers, the sons of God at the end of this age. Hallelujah. And notice the last word, born. And that birthing is the birthing in the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires. We've been birthed in our spirit, come on. But how many know we're still lacking in our soul? And this last birthing is in the soul. And so the woman gives birth to the man-child, these overcomers. And it says in verse 5, she brought forth a man-child. And Jesus, of course, is going to rule the earth. But how many know these people, and I'm going to show you who they are, shall rule what? All, come on, help me. Nations with what? Rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to His. I mean, no, that's the place of the overcomer, Revelation 3 tells us. That throne's the place of the overcomer. Now look back in chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 26. Let's see who's going to rule with the rod of iron. Surely Jesus is. We know that. 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him, the overcomer, will I give power over, come on, what? Where's the nations at? In heaven? No, right here. And he shall rule them, the nations, come on, with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers or small pieces, even as I received of my Father the same promise given to Jesus as given to the overcomer. And I will give him something. The morning star. Jesus is that morning star, Revelation 22 says. Amen? We have seen the superstar. Come on, how many of those have been some superstars? He said, we've seen the shooting stars. And this is what God said to me years ago. He said, the stars are fallen. We've also seen some fallen stars. But how many know it's time to see the real morning star? He is the superstar. Can you say amen? His name is Jesus. God said to me years ago, he said, the stars are fallen. He spoke that to me. And I saw what the tail of the dragon was. And it was seven things he gave me. Praise God. Now, in this chapter, there is the tail, there is the face, and there's the mouth. And I want to just show you one scripture in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. And we'll see what the tail of the dragon is. And I want to tell you, it's alive in America in 1992. And not only America, but around the world. Isaiah 9, verse 14. And it says this, therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. Now, Israel today, I'm looking at the church. Head and tail, come on, branch and rush in one day. How many know when God gets ready to move, He's going to move. The ancient and the honorable, He's the head. And the prophet, come on, that teaches something. Lies, He is the tail. So the tail is the prophet who lies. That's right, Doc. Lying prophets, they are the tail of Satan. For the leaders of this people cause them, that is God's people, to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Now, let's pray again in the Spirit. Everybody pray. Heavenly Father, we come in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. Lord God, I cut off the tail of the dragon in my own life, in my own ministry, in my own family, in my own church. Lord God, forgive me for listening to the lies of prophets. I repent and ask you to open my eyes Give me discernment. In the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and let her go. If there's lies you've been under, let her go, brethren. Let her go in the name of Jesus. God will deliver you. We come against the lying spirits of the prophets or whoever has been lying to you. Whatever ministry you're under that's lying to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here those who teach lies are the tail. Now look in Jeremiah 14:14. Jeremiah 14:14. We want to look at two more scriptures here. And we're just touching on this. This is so much. And the message God had me to teach this last year so much was the tale of the dragon, different places. In chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible said, "Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy to you a false vision and something else. Divination. They are diviners. They are, that's witchcraft. And a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." So let's pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off of me any transference of spirits, any soul ties of witchcraft and divination. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for yielding to that. I command it now to loose me and go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let her go, brethren. Jesus' name, all of it, all divination, all witchcraft, all Jezebel, loose the people in Jesus' name, controlling spirits, name of Jesus. One other scripture, chapter 5 of Jeremiah here on the subject. Chapter 5 of Jeremiah, verse 30 and 31. Jeremiah 5:30-31. It says a wonderful, that word of wonderful means an appalling and horrible thing is committed in the land. And I tell you, the land I'm looking at tonight's America. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? And we are in the end. My people love to have it so. Brethren, it's time for our eyes to be opened. We need discernment as we have never needed discernment in the church and in our individual lives. Amen? To know the truth from the false. Amen. So we need to know that. Praise God. I can give you many scriptures on that. Now, we just touched a few things. Now, turn to Romans. Let me give you another scripture, another point here of why prophetic words not fulfilled. Look in, which goes along with what we're saying right now. Go to Romans 12. One other scripture, please, here on this. Romans 12. And chapter 12 and verses 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I mean, no, we are not to go beyond the faith level that we have. Unless God drops the gift of faith in us. Amen? And so we can only prophesy according to that measure of faith God has given us, or the faith that we have. Now, some things will never, never come to pass. I'm going to say this way. Some things will never come to pass except God uses some of His prophets. Because God builds faith in the prophet. Now, we have a lot of men who say, well, I'm a prophet. Or women. How many know God raises prophets up? But I want to show you right now, before we go any further, I want to show you a mark of a prophet. You want to see a mark? Look in James 5. You want to see a mark of the prophet? Right here it is. I think if people saw this, they wouldn't holler at their prophet so quickly. James chapter 5. And look at verse 10. He said, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, come on, and of patience." If a man's a prophet, you look for afflictions in his life and you look for some patience. God's doing a work in him. I mean, afflictions are real. You know what brings afflictions? The word of the Lord brings affliction. Can you say amen? Now, God said we're not to prophesy beyond the measure of our faith. And I've seen this happen. I was in Bible college and a friend of mine, he was a young, of course, student. And he did. He prophesied a word back then about all well and, you know, it was really dying out, and he said it was going to be a gusher and flow again, but it never did. So he had to learn a hard lesson that he prophesied beyond the measure of his faith. And we can do that. I mean, when the anointing stops, we better stop. When our faith stops, we stop. Now look in Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah 28. Let's see something here. In verse 1, or 2, I guess it is, of chapter 28, there's a man named Hananiah. In verse 2, he said, Hananiah said, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts." Now, when you say those words, how many know, you better know what you're saying. Can I tell you something? I would gauge 90-some percent of the things spoken and going on in the name of the Lord in the church is not of God. That's my opinion. You can take it or leave it. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon." And if you read on down, Jeremiah said, "Amen." But then he said, something else to him. Hallelujah. Look in verse 9. "The prophet which prophesieth of peace." I mean, we got a lot of smooth mouths. Prophets that have, notice, "which prophesieth of peace. When the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord," come on, "hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord." He's saying it again, isn't he? "Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. He's putting a time on it. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. I mean, we got a lot of these people prophesying that Jesus is coming in any minute. And they're setting dates on it. And yet Jesus said, the Father only knew. Now verse 15. "Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah," the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, that thou makest this people to trust in a lie." That's the tale. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. You know, if that was happening today, how many know people wouldn't jump up and prophesy too quick? Unless they knew God was directing. I know we can all make mistakes. How many know we've all made mistakes? And we're not going to put anybody on to make mistakes. Because we'd all have to sit down. Isn't that right? We'd all have to sit down. Praise God. But I believe that God is able. I believe God is able to speak a true word in this hour. How many know he kept the words of Samuel from falling to the ground? There was a prophetic Samuel anointing. Hallelujah. God spoke to Samuel 5 times. How many know 5 is the number of the ministry? And we need the prophetic voice in the land again. Amen? Amen. Now look, another scripture. Let's go to Timothy, 1 Timothy. Is it chapter 1? Let me find out here. I'm asking you, and I only know myself. 1 Timothy chapter 1 Timothy 4 1 Timothy 4:14. Now we know there's the prophetic gift of prophecy, right? We know there's the prophet who ministers in the prophetic word. We know there is the ministry gift of prophecy, where people have that gift where they minister continually in it in the ministry. Then there's the prophetic song that comes forth. How many like to hear the prophetic song of the Lord? And then there is the prophetic word that ministers through the elders or the presbytery. And right here it is. It not only imparts gifts, but it confirms gifts. And so in chapter 4, verse 14, Paul said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by" what? Now I want you to notice, the gift was given by prophecy. As prophecy flowed over this man, a gift was put in the man. See how important it is to prophesy? Now notice, "with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery," or the order of elders. How many believe in elders? Listen, one of the things I see happening in the church in America is we exalt one man too much. I believe in shepherds because I am a shepherd. But I believe God's order is always plurality in scriptures, in all the ministries. Apostles, how many know they travel together? Prophets travel together. Come on now. There's teachers, there's shepherds. Of course, you always have a shepherd among shepherds. You have a prophet among prophets, an apostle, and so forth. But we need plurality of ministries. And when I travel, brethren, what I see, the greatest need in the church is to have real godly shepherds who love the people, who will not hurt the sheep and rip them off, but who will tell them the truth. Can you hear me? Amen. Three things setting the church back. I believe we've exalted man too much in the local church. I believe in the local ministers. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not teaching rebellion against the local fellowship or the local ministers, because I believe in that. But I believe we've exalted man too much. Number two, the prosperity doctrine that's been taught in the past. Some of it's wrong. Now, God's doctrine of prosperity is right. How many know that He can bless us if we meet His conditions? And the third thing that I see has hurt the church is the any minute rapture, pre-tribulation rapture. I wanted to say it right here. It is a lie. It is a lie. It is not truth. And if you know your scriptures, you can see through it if you want to. I mean, you know, most of us probably believed that at one time. But when God opens your eyes, isn't it amazing how you've been lied to? That tail of the dragon has been working. Amen? Hallelujah. So, he says something. Don't neglect the gift that's in thee. It was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. When we get a word, brother, we need to think on it. Meditate on it. You know what Jeremiah did when he prophesied? Elijah. When he prophesied there'd be no dew or rain according to my word, he prayed about it. And if we give somebody a word, how many know we need to start praying about it as well as that person? Thank you, Jesus. Now, in closing, I just want to say this. How many know there's nine gifts? I we're just touching a few things tonight. I'd love to teach this all night. There are nine gifts and how many fruits? Mentioned in Galatians. Come on, help me. Nine. There's a balance, isn't there? We know there's a balance. How many know with the word of wisdom, there's the love of God? You know, God sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh, and he said, 40 days, I'm going to destroy this city. Isn't that right? And we know the people repented, fasted, and God didn't destroy it. And Jonah looked like a false prophet, didn't he? And Jonah got mad, and really God came to him and said, well, hey, there's 120,000 in this city that couldn't discern between the left hand and the right hand. How many know God's a God of love? With a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. You've got a condition in your body and God's pointing it right out and reading your mail and you're healed that night. How many know it brings some joy? Joy goes with the word of knowledge. Then there is the gift of faith. Oh, I wish I could talk on the gift of faith tonight. That's something. Special faith. Let me tell you when the gift of faith comes. It comes many times in danger. When God sends an angel most of the time, or many times, the gift of faith can be in operation. Paul saw that angel on that ship, didn't he? Gave him everyone that was sailed. He said, everyone that sails with you. They started jump ship and said, Paul said, unless you stay in the boat, boys, you're not going to get out of this thing. You got to obey what the angel said. Amen? Praise God. Let me say this much. The gift of faith on one side can work with the working miracles. On the other side, it can work with gifts of healing. I mean, there's a man in Acts. He had a miracle of healing, it says. Remember that? Deliverance is miracle. Casting out demons. You may ask God for working miracles, and God may give you a deliverance ministry. Isn't that right? Praise God. Amen. So with the gift of faith, what do we need? We need the fruit of peace. Jesus said to the storm, calm. When he exercised faith, what did he say? Peace. Or shut your mouth. And then the working of miracles, we need gentleness. We need to be gentle with people as we minister to people in the miracle, whether deliverance or whatever. We need to be gentle with people. Gifts of healings, how many know the long-suffering comes with that? You want the gifts of healings? It's going to take some long, long, long suffering with it. Prophecy, fruit of goodness. The fruit of goodness. You know it says Barnabas was a good man, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Jesus went about doing good. How many know that goodness is of him, not of us. It's the spirit, the fruit, excuse me. And then, of course, discerning of spirits, we need the fruit of faith. Or fidelity. That means you better hold on to what God says. Be faithful to what God shows you. God shows you something in the Spirit. Be faithful to God. Don't give in to the enemy and lose it. Diverse kinds of tongues. We need meekness. I used to know a lady give a message in tongues and she'd hold it in for so long and burst out and scare you to death. She'd sound like a general barking. There needs to be some real meekness. Come on. and moving in the Spirit, even in tongues. And interpretation tongues, we need temperance. When God stops, we stop. Now, sometimes the prophetic word can take over from interpretation and go into prophecy as well. But we have to be temperate. When God stops, we stop. Amen? Praise God. I said enough. We need the prophetic word. We need the gift of the Spirit in the church. We can't work it up. We can't work it up. I mean, it takes faith to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. I was in this place last week, and I know they were wanting me to move more in the Spirit than what I did, but I saw where their faith was. Their faith was right here. And how many know when faith's low, it's hard to move in the Spirit? But you know, I'll tell you something else. How many know God's a God of diversity? God don't move the same all the way, all the time. And I don't try to work it up. When I don't have that anointing to move out, I do not do it. I'm afraid to do it. But with that anointing, how many know it's precious? Let's stand. Praise you. Thank you, Jack. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the prophetic word in the church. I thank you, Lord, that hallelujah, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless your name. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Robert, the Lord has a word for you. Hallelujah. God has seen your faithfulness. God has seen the travail of your soul. And God has put, my son, the belt and the girdle of truth upon thee. And the Lord shall speak unto thee in the night season. And thou shalt hear his word behind thee, saying, this is the way as you turn to the left and as you turn to the right. For his hand is upon you. His anointing is upon thee. And I do stretch out my hand and my love to thee this night. And thy shoes, thy feet shall surely be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that which I speak to thee, my son, in the night time, thou shalt shout it upon the housetop, saith the Lord. And thou shalt not be afraid, fearful of man, or afraid of man, or man's face, lest I would confound thee. But thou shalt speak forth a true word, the word of the Lord that's in your mouth. For yea, the anointing is upon thee and within thee. And I do turn thee around. I do spin thee around in this hour. And I do change thee within, saith the Lord. Yea, for many shall bless thee and shall cause thee much joy because of their obedience in the Lord. And every need shall be met, saith the Lord God. For yea, I move on the left and I move on the right. Yea, I speak to this one and I speak to that one. And all thy needs shall be met, saith the Lord, according to my riches and glory. For I have put within thee not only the ear of the learned, but the tongue of the learned. And thou shalt speak as my mouth as you take the precious from the vial, saith the Lord. Come on, give him praise. Give God the praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Sister, the Lord said he has given you the ear also of hearing. And he has digged your ear. He has spoken things into thy heart. And at times you have just kind of said, well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but the Lord says, I'm going to cause your understanding to be open, and I'm going to cause you to hear my voice clearer than you have before. For my sheep know my voice, and another they'll not follow. Yea, I shall speak intimate things to your heart, and as you spend much time in prayer, and even in fasting, as I would speak to thy heart, then I shall speak intimate things to thy heart, and thou shalt hear the voice of the Lord, and thou shalt be obedient to his voice. For I shall have many things to relate unto, even in dreams and visions, in the night season, as you would rest upon your bed, and as you would wait upon the Lord, and as you open the word shall come alive to your heart, the word shall leap out at your heart, and you shall know God has spoken again. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him tonight. Let's praise Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, Lord. Praise God, Brother Coffin. Hallelujah. The Lord has stretched his hand out to thee, my son. And the Lord does secure you in his arms. And the Lord does surround you with his faith and with his love. For surely the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And the Lord has seen the travail, and the Lord has seen the faithfulness of your heart. And know that God shall reward thee openly. For many have only seen the outward circumstances, but God says, I see your heart. And God shall reward thee, my son. He shall not forget thee in the time of travail and in the time of circumstances. When thou dost need a miracle, God shall move upon thee. And God shall perform many miracles for thee in this hour. And I shall cause you to hear the word of the Lord. And thou shalt stand with thy companion in this hour in faith. Yea, and in patience, saith the Lord, as you've heard this night. For God shall do a mighty work through both of these, saith the Lord. For yea, thou hast only begun of that which I am going to do. So stand in faith and believe, and thou shalt see a performance of the Lord. For his promises are yea, and they are amen unto thee, saith the Lord. Let's praise him. Come on, let's praise our God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bill, I see the Lord increasing your faith. I see the faith of the Lord rising within your heart. And God said, those things that you believe before in this hour shall come to pass. That which I speak into your heart in the night season, that which I speak within you, you'll have the faith for it, saith the Lord. So speak it out, my son. Believe, and you'll see a performance of it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has seen the travail in your heart, my son. He has seen your affliction, and God said, I'm going to prosper you in the midst of all your circumstances even now. And God says, look not back or look to man. God says, look to me, and I will speak to people to help me financially, and I will give my blessing and put my blessing upon you in this hour, saith the Lord thy God. So know that the Lord says, the blessings are coming, the finances shall change, and your heart shall rejoice because you've been obedient to me. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my Savior. Thank you, my Savior. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord does cut away, but the Lord does heal, and the Lord does mend. Yea, his presence is within thee, and thou, the Lord has seen faithfulness within you. The Lord has seen a hunger and a thirst within thee, and truly he shall fill thee in this hour, and he shall cause you to hear the voice of the Lord. And truly thou shalt go many places with thy husband, and thou shalt travel up and down the land, and God shall bless thy going out and thy coming in. The Lord shall increase thy faith as well. And God see gifts of healings operating through you and your husband here. And God shall bless thee as you lay your hands upon the sick, and many shall recover. I see miracles happening. Hallelujah. And healings happening as you obey the word of the Lord. So be not disobedient. Be faithful to the Lord. And God said, you'll see it. The tears shall run down your eyes. Yea, and thou shalt cry out for those that are hurting. And God said, I will not disappoint thee. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has built faith within your heart. And the Lord is establishing your going out and your coming in. Thou shalt stand upon the rock. And when the storms come and they have come, know that thou shalt stand, my son. And the wind shall beat upon thy house, but thou shalt stand. Because you stand upon the rock, which is Christ. And Christ shall establish your going out and coming in, as I've said. And I shall speak many things to your heart, and I shall cause faith to increase day by day as you wait in my presence and as you study my word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brother, the Lord said, the call of evangelism is upon thee. And I shall make thee an evangelist, saith the Lord. And I shall cause my words to come out through thy mouth, and thou shalt speak them, saith the Lord. For yea, even at this time I do prepare thee. But the Lord says, here's a warning. He says, wait upon him. Prepare, saith the Lord. Much preparation must be put within thee. And as you prepare and as you wait, God shall thrust thee forth in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Little sister right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I see the Lord working in your family situation, your circumstance, your natural circumstance. And God said, I've heard your cry. I've seen your tear. And God said, many answers are coming to you that you have cried, you prayed out for. And the Lord said, I'm going to cut away many things in this hour in your life. But also, God said, I'm going to put many blessings and miracles in your life. I'm going to turn many things around that I've told you before. And God said, you expect it. It's coming soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother Jack, I see the Lord blessing you. I see his hands upon you. And I see a prosperity blessing coming your way from the Lord. Hallelujah. And God is with you, my son. And I see him stretching out his hand towards you and his love. I see his angel with you. The angel of the Lord is with you. And the angel of the Lord is going to help you minister in this hour. And the angel of the Lord is going to stand beside you. And you're going to be, that anointing is going to increase in your life and ministry. And God said every need shall be met. So fret not, my son. Every need is met. Everything shall be supplied by God, where my angel stands beside thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. We praise you. Come on, let's give him praise. Give him praise tonight. Give the Lord praise. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we'd cut off any false tongue against this campground. Hallelujah. We stand with Brother Glenn and Irma, Lord, in this camp meeting and in the meetings ahead, Lord. And we thank you for the ministries that you're going to yet send to this place and the people, Lord, and the supply of all the needs in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God.
God is up to something good, something good, something good. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me continually keeps telling me God is up to something good. God is up to something good, something good, something good. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me continually keeps telling me God is up to something good. If you believe it, sing it. God is up to something good, something good, something good. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me continually keeps telling me God is up to something good. Oh, my God is up to something good, something good, something good. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me continually keeps telling me God is up to something. One more time. Well, my God is up to something good, something good, something good. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me continually keeps telling me God is up to something good. God is up to something good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glenn's not here. I guess you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Remember, God is up to something.
Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. For I send forth my angels, saith the Lord, that they may bring my message unto thee. For thou shalt rejoice even in a hilarious way, in a way that is beyond your understanding. You have in a small measure even brought back to me what I've given to you. But ye shall rejoice in a way that is far greater than you have ever experienced. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
God,
and ye shall go from strength to strength, everyone that appeareth before God in Zion. For the Lord thy God will come upon thee, and the Lord thy God will fortify thee. For the Lord thy God will cleanse thee. For the Lord thy God will anoint thee. For the Lord thy God will equip thee, even for the days that lie ahead. For the Lord thy God is a man of war. For the Lord of thy God is a God of battles. But remember this, my child. The battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I come unto thee with fresh equipment, with fresh strength, with fresh anointing.
Hallelujah.
That thou shalt know that I, the Lord,
hallelujah,
am a God of the present.
Oh, hallelujah.
And not of the past.
not of the future, but a God of the right now. Say the Holy Spirit unto thee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'll wait. The Lord has a strong and a mighty one coming forth. The Lord has a strong people, a mighty people, like there has never been, saith the Lord. A people that shall walk together, that shall not break their ranks, neither shall they thrust one another through. Yea, a holy people that shall walk in holiness before the Lord. For I am a holy God, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And I do bring forth my people in the earth. Yea, that strong people. So lift up your voice this night and know that God is in thy midst, and that he shall do a strange and a mighty work in this hour within thee and through thee, saith the Lord. For you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Yea, thou shalt speak a word in season to him that is weary. For my hand is upon thee, and I give thee wisdom, saith the Lord God, that you need in this hour. And my wisdom shall come forth, yea, in my people in this hour. And I shall open up doors for thee, and I shall cause those doors to be shut where I shall stop thee, saith the Lord. For the Lord is with thee, and the Lord does secure thee, and the Lord does overshadow thee with his covering and with his light and his power. So rejoice in the Lord. And know that this night God does walk among you, and he has sent his angels among you this night.
Hallelujah. Say, my children, as the winds blow, know the wind. Know the wind. Know the wind. And ye that know the Holy One of Israel, you know his wind. You know his wind. Yea, you know the fragrance of that wind. You know even the touch and the smell. And oh, Ilabasande, oh, you know him, you know him, you know him, you know him, you know him. So ye that have an ear to hear, you hear the wind because it's blowing. It's blowing. In some areas it's blowing in gushes. And in some areas it's blowing, oh, like a tornado. Even like a cyclone. It's blowing, it's blowing, it's blowing. So know this night, which wind is blowing? Which wind? Which wind? Which wind? And oh, my children, dig in. Dig in like you've never dug in before. Dig in, as it were, with your hip boots into the Word. Oh, it's the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word that will set the captives free. Oh, and it's the Word that has the anointing. Oh, that anointing that will break the yokes. That anointing that will bring in the children. That anointing will bring in the husbands and the wives that, oh, Ela by Sunday, they have gone, you know not where. You know not where. You know not where. But, oh, if you'll hear the wind blowing tonight, oh, the wind will blow them in. The wind will blow them in. Some, it'll blow in gently. It'll blow in gently. Very, 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 very gently. And some, it'll just suck in like, from a hose, as it were. It'll just suck them in, and suck them in, and suck them in, and suck them in, and suck them in. But, oh, you must know the wind. You must know the wind. Oh, the wind is blowing tonight.
Yea, I am the wind, saith the Lord, and I am thy wind, and I give thee breath, saith God. And surely, surely I have given thee a heart that would love thy God. And I have the heart of the Father, and I've given my heart to you, that you might know me in the length and the breadth and the height and the love of God which passeth understanding. Know thee that thou hast not come this way by accident, but I have drawn thee by my Spirit, that thou might drink of the rivers of living water, that thou might be full and overflowing unto others as you go forth. And they shall know me in a greater way. They shall know the Father heart. They shall know the heart of a father towards their sons and daughters. And yea, they shall woo them and win them, and they shall bring them in the kingdom, because I have prepared thee and am preparing thee. I have a remnant, saith God, that is set aside, that they may worship me in spirit and truth, that they will not turn their eyes or their head to strange doctrine and strange things and see the things of the world, but they only see me, saith God. They only see the riser from the dead, the healer of the brokenhearted, and the one that sets the captives free, saith God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. But as the word of the Lord comes forth, we need to hide it in our hearts. You know, when a prophetic word comes, it's for anybody that can take a hold of it. Even if it comes to an individual, if you can take a hold and apply it, that prophetic word is yours just as well. We need to learn to be able to take a hold of the word of the Lord and then apply it to our lives and not let it become a dead word, but make it be a living word to us.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.